Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon, Sharp Facets Gallery, 4:07 in the afternoon. I'm Ann Eller. And boy, do we have a treat for you this afternoon. For those of you that can't see it, well, I'm sorry. But we will have a podcast of this because we have some fabulous pottery right here on the table. It is made by the by our potters here, both in Edgefield and right here in Greenwood. Today, my very special guest is Laura Baczynski. Come on down. How are you doing today, Laura?
I'm great, Ann. How are you?
Pretty good.
You sound good.
That's right. You know, you have been doing pottery for how long now?
A long time. 15 years, I think.
Right.
But seriously, for the last 8 years.
Last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And you have a studio.
I do. It's Bell House Pottery, and it's located on Epworth Camp Road in 96.
That's right. And you're on the pottery trail.
I am.
Oh, that's right. So people will be able to come by and check out your pottery.
Yes.
And so she is one of our potters here that we're going to be talking with today. You know, you really have developed a passion for this, haven't you?
I really have. It's been a work in progress for a long time, but I'm actually more excited now than I have been in the last couple of years. I'm working on some new pieces, some new shapes, some new glaze recipes, new colors. So
that's good.
Very
that's
exciting.
Great.
Yeah, yes,
that is good. All right, so we've got Laura here. She's been here before, and we're going to be talking more about what Laura does over there. Then we have Justin Guy. He works at Old Edgefield Pottery. And how long have you been doing pottery, Justin?
Ever since I was a kid, a little over 20 years now.
And over? Are you just a little over 20?
Well, I started when I was...
You look a little older than 20. That's the only reason I ask.
Well, I keep telling myself this gray in my beard is just clay dust, but it won't wash out in the evenings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got some miles on me. But, yeah, I've been doing it for about 22 years now.
22 years. And you actually live in Edgefield, is that right?
That's correct. I live where on one of the Landrum Miles plantations where you might know Dave the Slave lived his final years, playing in the same mud, doing basically the same thing. So.
Well, his became very, very collectible.
Yeah, he had to die first. sadly, we'll hope that doesn't happen.
Not until after May. After May 2nd.
There you go. I'm not allowed to die before May 2nd. But yeah, most artists, you know, it's really nice to be understood in your time and, of course, get to talk to people that appreciate your work. Dave was famous in his time, and I'll try and work on that for myself.
Sure. Now, down there in Edgefield, it is so collectible and everything. One of the questions I was just wondering, you know, the earthquake that was down there, did it disturb any of the pots or any of the kilns, or did you lose any human life? Oh, as an aside.
Aside from some mild concern on my wife's part, she'd never experienced an earthquake before, and 10:30 at night, it sounds like a plane crashing outside. Most people were concerned. I actually got to go to Taiwan, and that became sort of a daily thing. So I was like, oh, I remember that. But the pots made it through everything but county government buildings. They are the ones that got cracks, so we're calling it an act of God. Perhaps he's displeased. But, you know, people kept calling the next day saying, how are the pots? How are the pots? Nobody asked, how are you? But the pots are fine.
The
little
rake,
shake and rattle. They did fine.
Okay.
And so did we.
Wow. Okay. All right. So Justin is here with us today, and we are going to be talking more with him. And finally, we have Sandy. And how do you say your last name?
Staterski.
Staterski. Okay. Sandy, when did you get involved in pottery?
In 2011, I took a night class at Piedmont Tech with Justin being my instructor. And I'm a part-time potter. I still work. Mm-hmm. A real job, and so
do
I don't get to do, my husband's a chiropractor, so I work in his office.
Okay.
But I don't get to do pottery as much as I really want to do. It's like Laura said, you get hooked immediately when you start, and you want to use every minute of every day doing pottery, and it doesn't happen. But it's still a lot of fun.
You know, I was reading some articles here, and they make a comparison between doing pottery and gardening. Working in the earth.
Yes. I've always said, because I've been an avid gardener for years, and I always say the soil is good for the soul. So with pottery, you're still using soil. It's just a different type. We add things to it.
Sure.
So it gives you that same feeling to me.
Now, Miss Andy, what kind of pottery, what do you like to do?
Last summer, I was introduced to coiling, so I was working on big pots, like large pots, using between 50 to 100 pounds of clay. The last couple of weeks, I've been working on pitchers. I've been trying to get the forms really nice, and to me, that's a piece that can be used as decorative or functional, so I'm interested in that right this minute.
You got any ghost going on in your while you're doing
absolutely
your
not.
I just was thinking of the shaping and the pots, you know.
Unchained melodies.
You know, I think we got a poster out there. We got a lot of vintage posters. I think we've got one of Ghost out there.
Oh,
yeah, there you go. But Laura, you know, you all are here because you've got a great Heritage Trail pottery tour and sale coming up, not this weekend, but the next weekend.
Right, next weekend, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It starts on Friday, May 2nd, with an opening reception at the museum in Greenwood. The participating potters on the tour will have pots on display. The exhibit will run the whole month of May and through the Festival of Flowers into June. And most of those pieces of pottery at the museum will be for sale while they're there. And they're a great representation of the work that the potters on the tour will be displaying and selling on Saturday and Sunday.
Sure.
The tour on Saturday will be beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning and on Sunday at noon. I had to look at my cheat sheet again. And you can start your tour either in Greenwood County and run down through the studios to Edgefield County, or start in Edgefield County and come north into Greenwood.
And you, I guess last year you had all those signs and everything. Will you have all the signs to point people in the right direction?
We will, and this year we've had an added bonus. We were able to raise some more funds this year, which we can talk about at some point too. And we were able to purchase large banners. So they have gone up in Edgefield. They went up on, I believe, on Tuesday. And yesterday, people may have seen me sneaking around Greenwood with two other potters, and we were hanging some large 6-foot by 4-foot bright yellow banners that are up in four locations in town that tell you a little bit about the date, point you to a studio. So if you did not get a brochure in the mail or have not picked one up at locations in town, you could go follow those arrows to a studio and pick up your brochure there.
Wow. So this is really growing. This will be the second year?
This is our third year.
Third year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is really growing, and people really need to get out and see all this. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with a great group of potters that are passionate about what they do. And, you know, we need to give a little history. What started the Heritage Pottery Trail? Where did this come from?
We actually started it through our Pottery Guild, which is Greenwood Area Studio Potters, affectionately known as GASP. And actually, I think that a lot of people know us in the Greenwood area for our Empty Bowls fundraising project that we do with the Soup Kitchen and the Medical Alliance in Greenwood. But one of the mission statements, or one of the purposes of GASP, was to sell and promote our guild members' work. Mm-hmm. And we threw around the idea of having it in one place and having just a big sale, but one of the other purposes of our guild is to promote an understanding among the community of the process of clay, what it takes to make a pot, and we wanted to be able to open this studio so people could come, see that, get a taste for what goes on, see where we work. And so there are five studios on the tour that will be open, and each studio will have a number of visiting potters, all members of the guild, mm-hmm. But they'll be at the different studios. We'll have a total of 22 potters with work available.
That's pretty awesome. You know,
it is.
I think one of the things, we had Gary Klontz, who is the head of Piedmont Tech, on last fall and had a great conversation. One of the things that he talked about was the fact that pottery, you can make a living doing pottery if you approach it as doing a to make a living, to sell the product. And I think that that's a very awesome thing. And if we want to create an art community, such as they have in Asheville in the mountains of North Carolina and everything, this is the perfect way to start this. And it is amazing how far it has come. You know, we all get interested in sports. We get our young people interested in sports, playing soccer and football and all mm-hmm. these things. And sometimes the arts, and I would consider pottery in that arts, gets kind of left aside. So I certainly hope that people will bring their children to be able to see about getting interested in pottery and this type of thing. Would that be a part of it too?
Absolutely. There's and there are some opportunities for children in the Greenwood area to start exploring pottery. I'll give a little plug for the museum. Does a 2-week pottery camp. There'll be a session in June and a session in August, so people could call the museum if they were interested in that. But yes, it's a great opportunity for children to come, you know, run around outside, see what the studios are doing. There's a couple of demonstrations that are going on, mm-hmm. And there'll be a hands-on activity at Partners in Clay, which is one of the studios on tour. So it's a great family day out.
Sure, and you know, I think that aren't you also doing, isn't the museum, aren't you able to paint some bowls here for empty bowls? Aren't they going to do some of that project?
Yes, there's another big project that's in the works. Us potters are very busy lately. there's another project in the works that combines the experience of pottery with another one of our purposes, which is community involvement. And as I said, we are known for our project with the soup kitchen, Empty Bowls. All of the potters in our guild make bowls to sell at that event.
How many bowls did you need last year? I mean, that was a big event last year.
I wish that Donna Connolly was here. She could call in if she's listening. I think it was over 500 that we collected last year. It has grown. We have bowls that come from our guild, 340 of them, because each of our members provides at least 10 bowls.
Sure.
Then we have joined with the woodworkers, mm-hmm, with Claw, and they give us over 100 bowls.
Right.
And then Lander University has joined us as well, and they did over 100 bowls last year. So
that's a huge project.
So that's a huge project. Now, the way that we are combining our two big projects, the Heritage Trail Tour and the Empty Bowls program, is part of a grant that we applied for through the Greenwood Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we received a nice substantial grant for them to help with the advertising of the tour, which was really greatly needed. In addition to that, the town of Edgefield provided us with a nice financial award to help pay for advertising for the tour as well. But the grant was written in a way that we were bringing in more community involvement. So in the month of May, after the tour is over, there will be some weekends where families can come and to the museum and decorate a pre-fired bowl. It will be bisque fired already. Mm-hmm. They can decorate it and paint it. It'll be a $5 fee to do that. And then those bowls will be taken by the potters in the area and will be fired to the permanent state, ready to use as a soup bowl.
Right.
And
what if I want my bowl, though?
Well, you can have your bowl. You can do one of two things. You can choose to donate your bowl to the inventory for empty bowls, and then your bowl would be sold at the evening event. Or if you really want your own bowl, you can buy it for $20. Wow. And you can buy it from us, and that $20 will go to the soup kitchen to the empty bowls fund. So it's just another way for us to raise more money for the soup kitchen.
So you may need more bowls.
We may need more bowls, yes.
Never too many bowls?
Never too many bowls.
Well, Justin, how many bowls do you make for this event?
Like you said, we always try and get 10 bowls in, but I think you've pretty much sold out every year. Is that not correct?
Yes, right.
So it's a very popular event. And
so we need more bowls.
You need more bowls, and we'll always, you know, never have too many bowls, like I said.
The other thing that we do with the bowls that night, and Sandy, maybe you want to explain how we, after the event is over, they're available.
Sure. After the event is over, we still have the shelves set up, so people that have participated, if they would like to purchase another bowl, they can come in and choose another one. And to me, that's my favorite part of empty bowls, seeing the participants come in, shelves of bowls, and picking up a bowl, holding it, maybe going on to another station and picking up another one. Just watching how they make their decision is
that
just...
That bowl has to speak to you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Either color, shape, size, whatever it may be. And it's just a really, really, really fun event to watch and participate in.
Sure. And the tickets do sell out on this event very early.
Immediately, almost.
Yeah. So... If you want to be participating, any idea when you will be selling tickets for the empty bowls?
The tickets usually go on sale in September, and the event is usually the second week in October. They haven't set the date yet, but the tickets do go on sale in September, and we'll probably come back and visit you closer to that date.
Absolutely. Well, we are here talking about pottery this afternoon. Justin, I would just be interested, what made you get interested in pottery? Two questions, actually. And number two, what makes Edgefield so special?
Well, not so much Edgefield, but the Edgefield-Greenwood area. We actually exist in what we call the Piedmont area, and that's where the ocean was, you know, several hundred thousand years ago. So we have plenty of clay in this area. We have more clay than all of Japan. We're never going to run out. So... When I got started,
we have that red clay though, and that's just hard to work with stuff here now.
It can be, but
it's hard on landscaping, but it's good for potters.
That's right. Take the clay, make pots, and replace it with potting soil.
That's right.
But like I said, we have fantastic clay in this area, and not just the red clay. We as potters, we classify this clay by different colors. We have yellow clay, we have white clay, which we call kaolin. Of course, the red clay, which has iron oxide impurities, and all these things come together to make a unique clay body if you dig it. If not, you can apply it as a slip glaze, underneath glazes, and decorate your pottery, which is something that we do in the Edgefield tradition. Getting back to your other question, I started digging clays when I was a child, and just feeling the soil between your hands is one thing, but then you actually get introduced to a wheel, which is, you know, a large tool. It's a mechanized tool, but it's still a tool for producing wear. And once you combine that love and feel of the earth with being able to produce something that will last potentially for thousands of years if you take care of it, and make something this nice to use. In this world, we're used to, you know, getting a cup at McDonald's perhaps and using it within an hour. And this is something that can last you the rest of your life. To make something permanent and beautiful. You were talking about art a few minutes ago. Pottery itself falls into that area of applied art. It's not fine art. You don't hang it on the wall and just look at it. It's sort of like jewelry. It's useful, but it's also beautiful. And that's really nice when you have aesthetically pleasing, useful objects.
When we come back after the break, I'm going to share a story about Jeff's trip to China and how he took beautiful items and gave them Tupperware. Hey, don't you go away. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I tell you what, we were just talking about a little bit about the history of Edgefield and everything. And it really comes down to some pretty interesting stuff. And it really centers around 1830, doesn't it, Justin?
Well, that's when it sort of dissolves into the surrounding areas. It begins about 1814 when Abner Landrum transcribes an Oriental style glaze, the technical term they used back then. But they start producing these wares for a cottage industry, local use, and it expands north into the Edgefield District. The Edgefield District back then incorporated Saluda, McCormick, Greenwood, and parts of Aiken County. Aiken County didn't come around until 1871, and the other counties broke off as well in years after that. So Edgefield District is what we call the start of Edgefield pottery, but that incorporates every square mile between here and Greenwood, and quite a few other places as well. So it starts in Edgefield and then follows basically the trade routes, which is the railroad, Savannah River barge, and up towards the huge population, which starts in Greenwood.
Yeah, it really begs to differ. What did we do before we had paper plates and Tupperware, right?
Well, you had to take care of your things, and these items were, you know, semi-precious. I call it the Tupperware of the 1800s. Or the Ziploc of the 1800s. These were common things back then. They were required to survive the winter. You had to store your meat, your vegetables, and of course your liquid calories. Liquid calories being cider, whiskey, all those things. Well, you know, water was...
Happy juice, exactly. There you go.
Laura's fingering one of the Pam Cadillac's jugs here. And these things will hold whatever you can put in them. But water was suspect back then. You didn't want to get beaver fever or lockjaw, so they would sterilize, quote unquote, their water source.
Beaver fever.
Yes, it's just comes from stagnant water.
Beaver fever.
Exactly. You see beavers, you start running a temperature.
Okay, this is a G-rated show.
I wasn't talking about it.
And.
What have you got me into, Laura?
Yeah, we're talking here today. It's a pottery afternoon.
You can't see me blush on radio, can you?
Yeah, we're doing a video, Justin.
Oh, there it is.
All right. Now, Zandy, you were telling us that you have pots over in Mongolia. How does that happen?
I absolutely do. My daughter-in-law is from Mongolia, so when she goes back to visit her family, she'll take small pots to her family in Mongolia. So it's pretty exciting to have international pots.
Yeah, that makes you pretty famous here.
No, not really, but it's fun to think like that.
Yeah. Now, what made you decide to, Sandy, you were talking about the coiled pots that you got into. How'd you come up with deciding to work on that?
I was introduced by the continuing ed instructor at Piedmont Tech, which was Renata Copeland at the time, and she had gone to a workshop with Thomas Cool, who is our instructor now during the day, and they had seen a demonstration about the large coil pot. So we started, and what we did was you can throw your base with using 10, 15 pounds of clay, and this is recycled clay, our old clay that we put additives to recycle and use it so it's not just trashed. So then we use the extractor to make coils, add that, and it's just a way to get a larger form by using the coiling method other than trying to throw. There is no way that I could throw that much clay.
Well,
ever.
Didn't you actually have a problem finding a big enough kiln to put it in?
We did. That one pot got way out of control. I'm not sure how it happened. So we built a kiln with soft bricks and we bisque it in there. And then we used the gas kiln to actually do the glaze. Now I have one drying now and it once again got out of control. It's easy to get out of control because it's a relaxing process. And so it's pretty big. So we'll see if it fits in the kiln.
How big is it, Sandy?
Well, it's about 27 to 30 inches tall and about that wide at the widest point. Now, some of our electric kilns to bisque, it would fit in there possibly, but the process of getting greenware in down in a kiln, that's the hard part. So that's why we put the pot on some bricks, and then we built the kiln around it. It was just easier so it didn't get broken.
you know, we had Thomas Kuhl on the show, and he was telling me about how affordably you can actually build something like a kiln out of recycled stuff and old bricks and whatnot. Is that right, Justin?
That's very correct. I mean, the flame at the end of a match is about, you know, 1,800 degrees, and so if you can get a flame and concentrate that and keep the heat in and insulate it, you can achieve some pretty amazing temperatures with some rudimentary items.
So, so I just am fascinated by the fact that pottery is such it is tactile. It is something you want to touch, you want to feel. Now, who made this pot right here, the one, the big tall one here? Laura, is that you?
Yes, it is mine.
Well, that's a very interesting one. Tell us a little bit about this pot.
Well, it's it's an attempt to make a bigger pot than I normally would do. And similar to Sandy's telling about her making the coil pots, I learned this technique at a workshop as well. And this is what's called a stacked pot. You throw the bottom section of it, and then you take that off the wheel, and then you throw a second section, and you then stack them together and have to pull it. I can't describe it without showing, but you pull up the clay from the bottom into the top to join the seam together. And
it's kind of like sewing a dress together.
It is. And you just have to make sure that the seam is really well worked, because similar to splitting the seams in your dress, you could split the seam in a pot as it dries if it's not really a good connection between the two.
Now, and this isn't totally straight.
No.
No, I mean, it looks a little
off. It is. It's got a little bit of a tip in one side of it. But that's also, as what, you know, Sandy was saying earlier, I think when we were at commercial break, talking about, you know, you have to get over striving for perfection when you're a potter. That's what, you know, some of those little quirks about your pots is what makes them handmade. Some of the most valuable and most appreciated pots historically have a little bit of a imprint of a finger from the potter that did them, or, you know, so we don't worry so much about it being exactly perfect. And this pot is one of the pieces that I've started doing a lot of carving on my pieces, and a little bit of texture work, so the glazes that I'm using break in color.
It's very beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful. And it actually, this piece is one of our raffle pieces.
Oh, wow.
Which leads me to the raffle ticket story.
Isn't that amazing?
One of the things that we do on the tour is each participating studio gathers the potters that are going to be at presenting their work at that studio, and they choose one piece to be a raffle a piece. So we have 5 raffle pieces. You can buy a ticket for $5, and that gives you the option of choosing one of the 5 pieces.
So you actually drop your ticket in?
Exactly. And we will be selling those on at the reception.
Which is on Friday night.
On Friday, May 2nd. And then you can also buy them at the tour along the way at the different studios. And you can check off on the ticket which one you're interested in winning. And then we draw the names a few days after the tour, once we've all collected the tickets that have been sold, and then draw the winner. So it's a great way to support the tour and also have an opportunity to win a great piece of pottery. This small whiskey jug, it was not small, it's a medium-sized whiskey jug, was made by Pam Cadlick, who you have met before.
Right. We've had her on to talk about her dogs.
Yep. And so that's one of her pieces that's fired in a gas kiln. And then Justin will be having a piece, one of your
South Carolina
jugs that he does. And then there's another beautiful vase piece that's coming out of Edgefield at one of the studios there. And then Partners in Clay has a raku piece that's available for their raffle piece.
Now, how much does it cost to go on the tour?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's absolutely positively free.
It's absolutely positively free. And you can come and spend the entire day and not spend a dime.
Wow.
You can go see demonstrations at each of the studios. My studio is having a pit fire, which is another way of firing pieces of pottery using flames that are enclosed in a cinder block pit, and we're going to be wrapping the pots and getting them ready and lighting the fire and burning them up and opening the pit on Saturday.
Sure.
Justin will be doing wheel demonstrations and things at his studio. We have a groundhog kiln opening at 9 on Saturday morning, which he'll talk more about.
That's actually in Edgefield.
In Edgefield. And there's live music in Edgefield at Turtle Rock Pottery. And so you can come and not spend a dime. However,
We would appreciate
if you buy a piece here or there.
Sure.
It's been fun actually doing this for 3 years, because what happens now is we have people who come back and they say, I was here last year and I really wanted to buy
whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I had already purchased a few pieces in other places. So this year,
right,
I knew and I thought about it and I saved my money, and this year I'm coming to this studio or going and I'm going to buy that.
And then they're no longer making that type of piece again.
No. So then they choose another piece.
Okay. All right.
There's always something good at the studios.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back. This is the All About the Heritage Pottery Tour and Sale. It is going on not this weekend, but next weekend, starts Friday night at the museum. And then Saturday all day, and Sunday starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You got to find out more, so stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Boy, we are looking at some beautiful pieces of pottery here, and we really want to inspire you to put this on the calendar for not this weekend, but next weekend, starting 5:30 at the museum with a reception. It's a great opportunity to see a lot of different pottery in one place and then get excited about where you want to go. Now, Laura, you have how many? 22 pottery, but how many locations?
Oh, 5 locations.
Right. And
five
there'll
locations.
Be a map, and there's a brochure.
There is. There's a brochure that we have mailed out, over 1,000 brochures to the community,
okay,
to both Edgefield and Greenwood areas. There are also brochures available in both towns at some of the key locations in town. In Greenwood, they're available at the Art Center, at the Federal Building, and the Museum, and Howard's on Main, and Mill House, which are both sponsoring restaurants, a great place to stop for lunch on Saturday,
sure,
when you're touring. And then you also can visit our Facebook page to print out your own brochure if you were not able to get on our mailing list this year.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more convenient to do that. I always have to look at it, because it is. Our Facebook page is Heritage Trail Pottery Tour Sale. All those words together, Heritage Trail Pottery Tour Sale. And then you can go on that page and not only download your own brochure to print, but you also can read about each individual artist that is on the tour. You'll see pictures of what there is available. You'll get a picture of the artists that are there and their statement about what makes them want to do what they do.
Sure. And, you know, if you don't have the time to do all the potters, you can pick out one or two, whatever is convenient. That's the beauty of this. It's not like a tour, bus that you get on and you can't get off.
Right, and you can we have some people that make the whole weekend the tour. They go to the reception on Friday, and they go to Edgefield on Saturday, and then Sunday after church, they'll come to the Greenwood studio. So you can break it up. Any way you want. And it's very doable to do the whole tour. It's just a nice day. You start in Greenwood and end up in Edgefield and then come home.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other beautiful thing is that there is so much history in this whole event. Now, we were talking earlier about the groundhog kiln over there in Edgefield. And you're going to open the kiln, I understand, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning?
That's correct. We have, Just talking about the other potters as well, we have so many different types of firings. We're having pit firings, electric firings, gas kiln firings, and I'm in charge of the wood firing there at the Groundhog Kiln in Edgefield. So we have all different types is what I was going to say for the tour. So if you can't find something on this tour that you like,
that's our disclaimer.
You're not looking hard enough. There's really some beautiful stuff on this tour. But getting back to the kiln, me and Robert Taft will break down the door. This is a rather large beast to fire. It's about 22 feet long, 10 feet wide. It can hold up to about 250 pots.
Is it full?
It will be full on Monday. We're loading Monday, firing okay. Tuesday, and it takes the entire week to cool down, and it's still about 120 degrees on Saturday when we unbreak that door and pull the pots out and really get to see them for
what
they are.
This will be like a treasure chest here when you open up the treasure chest, right?
Like Christmas morning every time, whether it's any kind of kiln. You just want to peek inside, but you don't want to burn your eyebrows off, which every one of us has done, by the way.
Is that true, Sandy?
Maybe not totally true.
In part, though.
Okay, all right.
It's that crackle sound you got to watch out for.
Yeah, okay. How's it do if you got a beard, just out of curiosity?
That's more of a problem for raccoons because the flame is coming right at you. Really, we're eye line and above as far as wood firing, but it's still a possibility.
Okay.
I won't say how far I've trimmed it up.
All right. So this is what's going to be going on. You want to go have a good time on this. It's a great family activity. We certainly are hoping for better weather this year, too. Last year, it was kind of rainy and cool, if I remember.
But, last year, even though it was rainy and cool, it was not just rainy and cool. It was torrential.
Yeah, it kind of was.
It was awful. We had water running off of the tops of tents, but we were all still out there. Mm-hmm. And we still had amazing results for our sales. We were really, really pleased and impressed with those people who braved the elements to come out. That was something that we were so excited about, that we knew that this meant something to the community, that people would come out despite the weather. So I'm not looking at the weather forecast until midweek next week, because I don't want to know until I have to do something about it.
That now, looks good so far.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
Be positive.
So it doesn't cost you anything. It goes on rain or shine.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you can go to their Facebook page, and the Facebook page is, again, Heritage Trail Pottery Tour and Sale. Is
yes.
that right?
That's right.
Yeah, there it is. Heritage Trail Pottery Tour Sale. Mm-hmm. No and. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just put in Heritage Trail Pottery Tour Sale and like them on Facebook. They'd really like it if you do that, and you will be pleased at what you're going to be able to see. Don't get to do the whole thing, hey, that's okay. Now, in Greenwood, just what are the potters that are here in Greenwood?
In Greenwood, we have two studios that are open, Partners in Clay, which is at Wyatt Farm. Mm-hmm. They're in a studio building that's on that property there, and there are five potters that will be there that day. That group actually works together in that studio. It's a group studio. And then
do they ever throw any pots?
They do. No, not at each other. I promise you, not at each other. They have a great time over there, and the work that comes out of that studio is fantastic. So I think people will really enjoy that
now,
there.
Is anybody doing the raku over there?
They are not doing raku there this year. Actually, the raku person who works out of that studio is not going to be on the tour this year. So because she's got a family wedding, that she's got a good excuse.
Okay.
But we're not having a raku firing this year. Then from there, you can go down to my studio, which is Bell House Pottery, which is straight shot down 25, right off of 25, and you'll see all sorts of signs pointing you in the direction. So those are the two Greenwood studios. Then from there, you can head down to PK Pottery, which is Pam Cadlick's pottery studio, and she also will be five potters there as well, and we are encouraging people.
See a lot of great dogs
and
there.
She's got great dogs, and you need to follow the road. Don't be afraid. She lives up on a dirt road. It's a great pottery place, and she's got a fantastic house and studio and a pond that she's invited people to fish in that day. So do that. And then from there, you can head down to Justin, who is in the center of Edgefield, right off of the square in Edgefield at Old Edgefield Pottery. And then from there, you can go to Turtle Rock, which is Beth Thornton's studio space, and she will have four potters there. Oh. So there's lots of opportunities.
Sure. And the idea is to come and spend some time, not hurry through this, correct?
Right, right. You really will want to look at each person's pottery and really look at the studio space. And the potters love, I know you can't tell from this interview today,
not
but potters
all,
love to talk. and they love to tell about what they do and what they're passionate about. So really people should take advantage and really, you know, chat with the potters and hear what's going on.
All right. Now, Sandy, are you going to be working at any one of the potter studios?
I will. Not working, but I'll be at Pam's PK Pottery in right. Edgefield. And as we were saying, each piece is so different, and it's kind of exciting if you're buying placeware. I've grown up with Pfalzgraf pottery, which is stoneware, but right. it's pressed stoneware. And it's so exciting to go into your cupboard and grab a plate to fit your mood that day.
Yes.
And tomorrow, that might not be the plate that you're really interested in. You might be interested in another plate.
Hold on. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. So you're going to be down there, and there's going to be all this going on. Now, she also raises dogs. What kind of dogs are they?
Boykins.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I knew they were spaniels. Yes, we had a discussion about which was smarter, Boykin spaniels or Gracie the Weimaraner. It was not satisfactory.
No comment.
Pam's a great friend, but the dog is
no comment. Look at Gracie. She's hiding. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. She's upset now.
She's embarrassed.
All right. Well, listen, you don't want to miss this event. It's a week from this Friday. Friday night, May 2nd at the museum, 5:30. And that's free to go to that event.
Absolutely.
And they'll be having little refreshments.
Always good food and wine, so wine. Stop by.
And some great pottery items that you can actually purchase right there if you
yes.
like, right? And then the pottery display will be on all that month in May at the museum.
Correct.
Also at the museum, you will be able to decorate some of the empty bowls.
Right, and that will be the weekends following the tour. So there's three Saturdays in May, and that will be the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. So you can actually contact Donna Boyajian for that information,
sure.
or the museum, and they can put you in touch with
sure.
Donna.
And that's going to cost you $5, but you can go in, adults and children, and decorate. And if you want to keep your bowl, there'll be a charge for keeping it. Or if you want to donate it to Empty Bowls, you can do that. So this whole program and this whole thing is all about learning about pottery, enjoying pottery, and seeing what wonderful artists we have able to work in pottery. Y'all are commended to be doing this and really making it happen. It's been very thrilling to have you all right here. Some beautiful pieces. You don't want to miss it this coming weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Go to their Facebook page. What's that Facebook page again?
Heritage Trail Pottery Tour Sale.
Okay, and we have been here this afternoon with Laura Baczynski. Yay!
Yay! Thank you, Anne.
Justin Guy, come on down. That's right.
Thanks for having us, Anne.
Absolutely. And Sandy
Staturski.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
Got a kink? Go down and see your husband. There you go. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.